Today on Real Radio.
If you're innocent, or you even perceive yourself as innocent, go to the one that is holding something against you and make amends for Jesus' sake. But Jack, it would take a dying to my flesh. It would take a dying to my pride and to my arrogance and my ego to go to them and say, I'm sorry. That's right. So do it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the last paragraph of chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. The passage gives us a valuable example on how to handle those issues that arise among believers, and how we ought not to, as it is sometimes put, major on the minors. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in a presentation called When Christians Disagree.
The gospel, the preaching, that is the mechanics of the gospel, is strange. It's weird. But how much more weird is the vessel that's delivering the message? God uses people to deliver the message. If I were God, would have used angels, not people. People can goof things up too much. But we are the ones, just because we're human, we are not going to always get along, and we will disagree, and Christians will. And I have this question. Would we have been loving Barnabas or loving Paul if we were with them at this point in time? We have a tendency when we look at our Bibles to say, oh, yes, I absolutely would. After all, man, they're in black and white on my Bible. I mean, these guys are heavies. I'd get along with Paul. I want to be spiritual. And Barnabas, you bet, and I want to be right on. Listen, chances are we would have been brought to that place of disagreement somewhere along the way. And listen, people, it is because we need to learn to be molded and shaped. And it's often under this thing called submission or concessions, like we spoke about a couple weeks ago. It's through submission. And it's so sad in our culture. You mentioned the word submission and people almost get sick to their stomach. But yet, you know, you really can't be a Christian without knowing how to submit to Jesus Christ. Everybody comes in and they want to point to Ephesians 5:22, and it says the wives are to submit to the husbands. Jack, make her submit. Oh boy. I have a 45 in my, no, I'm kidding. No, that's when I pull out my Bible and I say, read verse 21. Ephesians 5:21 tells us that they are both to be submitting unto the Lord first. We are to be submitting to Christ. And that's why Paul in Timothy says that a pastor ought to be a good leader of his house, of his wife, and of his children. Because if he can't handle his family, how on earth is he going to handle the church of God? Why does he put the two together? Because that man must be submitted to the will of God, so he can be submitted to the will of God in works concerning the church. If he can't handle his home, he'll never handle the church. Why? He must be a man under orders. He's not some kingpin in the home or in the church. Well, I'm the pastor. Well, if you're the pastor, you should take out the trash then. I'm the father of this house. Then teach by example. G. Campbell Morgan said that he heard a man preach a message one time, and it was so fantastic, but he said, unfortunately, the message that he preached after he got out of the pulpit was more true than the message he preached in the pulpit. G. Campbell Morgan said it was a tragedy that that man came down out of the pulpit. He should have stayed there all his life. We need to be careful about that. It all comes down to submission. Hey, we're going to disagree with each other, but we better submit to Jesus Christ in unity on that. Well, he hurt me. Well, you hurt me. Okay, we're both hurt. What do we do with it? Have you ever been hurt? Have you had a disagreement? Then listen to this. Jot this down. We need to realize that Jesus himself has commanded us that we are to go to our brother that we've offended. Matthew 5:23. Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, that is, you're going to do your Christian service, ministry, and there you remember your brother has something against you. He's got something against you. By the way, it goes both ways. Leave your gift before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift to God. Does somebody hold something over your head? Are they angry at you for something? Are you innocent or are you guilty? I don't care. If that brother has something against you, go to them. Jack, but he hurt me. I know. Go to him. I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people upset. From the heart, truly from the heart, the first person that seeks reconciliation from the heart is always the most spiritual out of the group. Now, granted, there are some people who say, I'm sorry. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. Tell her you're sorry. Sorry. Say it again. Sorry. Go to your room. 5 minutes later, they come back and they say, I'm sorry. Well, you can tell by the tone. Thank God it doesn't take a child long to repent. But you can always tell. If you're innocent or you even perceive yourself as innocent, go to the one that is holding something against you and make amends for Jesus' sake. But Jack, it would take a dying to my flesh. It would take a dying to my pride and to my arrogance and my ego to go to them and say, I'm sorry. That's right. So do it. God will bless. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 12. What a great, great verse. We need or this chapter actually, but this portion of Scripture we ought to mark in our Bibles and have ready always concerning so many situations of life. Verse 9. Listen to this. This is what we are to be doing, Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, shove off, put away from you evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. By the way, that's a choice. It's not a feeling. With brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to the other one. Has somebody wronged you? Give them preference. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them the foot up or the rung above you, so to speak, on the ladder. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We'll get to this in a moment. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Here you go. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. I'd like to say this. If you're visiting this church, God bless you. We're glad that you're here. And may the Lord lead you to the church that He wants you to be at. But if you are in this church and you've called this place your home, if we can, by the grace of God, state a decree that you'd be of the same mind one toward another. That you would look at one another as Jesus looks at each of us. He says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, and do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And here's verse 18, a great verse that Paul and Barnabas could have used. And remember, Paul wrote the book of Romans, and I wonder if he didn't have Barney in mind when he wrote this verse. He said, if it is possible, as much as depends upon you, or as much as you are able, live peaceably with all men. He's talking about Christians. We are not all going to get along. So what does it mean if you have something against someone? First of all, settle it. The next thing is realize we just don't get along. We're going to heaven together, but our personalities conflict. Recognize that. And when you see them walking down the hallway, say, good morning. And you say good morning back. You be cordial. You be kindly affectionate one toward another. Maybe you guys can't get along in that. It's just one of those things. You say, well, you say something and they don't understand you. It just doesn't work. You ever been there? I've been there. You say something and they just misunderstand you. And it's like, what? And you're just kind of rough. But yet they love God and you love God and they're going to heaven and you're going to heaven. Paul says, as much as it is possible, live peaceable with all men. That means there's a time when you just say hi. You smile at them. You don't invite them over for dinner. You don't go on family vacations with them because you don't get along. And there's nothing evil about that. That's being wise. Gosh, our personalities clash. Just wait till heaven. You get along in heaven. I'm counting on getting along in heaven. God's going to make it right. But we follow him for Jesus' sake. Keep going in Romans chapter 12. It says in verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Don't take it into your own hands, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And everyone goes, amen, fry them, God. Show them how right I am. No, listen. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hungers, hey, listen carefully, treat your Christian companion that you don't get along with like an enemy. Treat him like an enemy. You having a hard time with somebody? Treat him like an enemy. Well, I thought you just said don't shoot him. Don't blow him up. Don't, listen, verse 20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. Bless him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, he'll heap coals of fire on his head. And you say, oh, that sounds great. Coals of fire on his head, torch the guy. That's not what that means. The word means that the ultimate blessing in those days was to take from the fire that warmed your home and cooked your food and give it to him. And they carried it in these incredibly woven baskets with tin that was pounded into the bowl of the basket. And that guy would take the hot coals from your house back to his home and warm his house and bless his home. It says if your enemy rips you off and bums you out, bless the guy. If you don't get along with a Christian, bless him. By doing that, you are being Christ-like. I had a guy that just for whatever reason, doesn't like me. Just doesn't like me. And I've just gone through all the bases. I got on my face, and God, what is it? Just doesn't like me. So one day I was mowing my lawn, and the Lord said, invite this guy over and eat with him. And I said, get thee behind me. I really feel like, wait a minute. And the Lord just pounded that into my heart. Love those who curse you. Do good to those, Jesus said, who despitefully use you, who say all manner of evil against you. Bless them, don't curse them. And I tell you what, I went through with that, and it was the most liberating experience of my life. I was set free. But Paul and Barnabas had words, and they parted for years, for many years, all because I think it wasn't handled right. And I want to hit this before we wrap this up. Back to Acts 15. It says in verse 39 that the contention was so sharp between them that they parted from one another. Ladies and gentlemen, this is with tears. Their hearts are absolutely ripped open. The word, I want you to get this. Don't ever forget this. I cannot water this down at all. The words in the Greek language here in verses 36 to 41 are the most intense that can be used for an all-out argument. Can't get any worse than this. Paul even uses a word concerning Mark that is synonymous with apostate. Paul basically said, listen, Barnabas, we're not taking that little snotty-nosed brat with us. He turned coat on us when things got rough on the first journey. I'm not going to have the little wimping, whining guy with me again. He's going to run back to his mommy right when things get tough. I'm not going to deal with it. Barnabas said, he is going. Paul was about 5 feet tall. Barnabas is probably 6'2". Paul, he's going. Paul looking up with those squinty eyes, big hook nose, bald head. He's not going. You can just hear him. I'm telling you, he's not going. Not with me. Barnabas says, he is going. Barnabas insisted. Paul insisted. Barnabas was constant on it, is what the word in the Greek means. He is over and over and over again. And Paul finally says, that's it. If you want to take him, take him. But he's not going with me. And Barnabas probably, I don't know, I wasn't there. But maybe Barnabas was bluffing and said, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't go with us, I don't go. You gotta love Barnabas. He saw something in this young kid. Gave him a second chance. I side with Barnabas on that. But I gotta side with Paul too on his tenacity to get out there and to be careful about who goes on a team. I think both of them were wrong. I think both of them were right. Jack, you're compromising. That's right. Absolutely. They polarized. And they had words. And they began to separate. And I could just see Barnabas grab Mark and walk away and say, it'll be okay. I could just see Paul say, Silas, you're with me. Yes, sir. And it's interesting, if you look there, it says in verse 39 that Barnabas and Mark sailed for Cyprus. They went southwest. So where do you think Paul went? In the opposite direction. And they went on land. They absolutely turned their backs and separated completely. Was God in it? Listen carefully, because I'm going to disagree with a lot of great scholars. Did God orchestrate this departure? I absolutely, because of the Greek words used here, do not agree with that. I think the flesh got involved in ministry. It happens all the time, and it's sad. Did God redeem it? Oh, yeah. That's why he's called the Redeemer, people. Have you made a mistake in ministry? Were you too hard on somebody? Repent of it. 1 John 3:20, wonderful verse. Once you hear it, you're going to want to memorize it. 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Oh, man, isn't that great? I was too hard on that guy. God will forgive me. God will bless me. God will encourage him. God will bless him. Our God is still called the Redeemer, people. And aren't we glad? He's still into redeeming. Wrapping this up quickly. Understand this. First of all, that God uses imperfect people. We're all men and women. We're sinners who have somehow been called to an unbelievable, beautiful ministry. Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure, which is the gospel of Christ, in earthen vessels, so that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Remember that, people. Next time somebody hurts you or you hurt someone. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being of ourselves. Paul's saying we're not something, but our sufficiency is from God. It's God who works through these earthen vessels. And then finally this thought. Though the difference between Paul and Barnabas was great, God won out. Two missionary teams were created. Mark and Barnabas went on a relatively short trip. Paul went on a very extended trip that was massive. In fact, well over twice the distance, covering tremendous areas and cities. Was gone for years. God used them both. God will use you too. Two teams were formed. The situation galvanized Mark. Sometimes it happens this way, where Mark was in the hearing of Paul when Paul said, that little guy, he is not going with us, he'll never amount to anything. That put a little fire inside Mark's heart. So much so that Mark hung in there and became an understudy of Peter. So much so that Mark penned the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel ever written. By the way, it was the most action-packed gospel of all four of them, Mark's gospel. Mark turned out to be a great guy. Barnabas was right. But I can't help but think that Paul's strong words actually God used to encourage and galvanize Mark. It also strengthened Barnabas. We know this from the book of Colossians and from other places in Scripture. And by the way, it resulted also in the heart of Paul being a little softened as he makes mention in his further epistles about the benefit that Mark and Barnabas had been to him. Finally this, when it was all said and done, last verse, 2 Timothy 4:9 through 11, Paul was imprisoned in that horrible, disgusting prison. And maybe some of us will get a chance to visit this spot in Rome. He was in this place that you can see today, and you go to a manhole cover, but it's not covered like it is now. It's got bars, like a prison bar across it. And you would look down, you'd get your face down near that grid, and you'd go, "Hey, Paul!" And he'd go, "I'm in here!" Paul, old guy now, well in years, served God, his body scarred for serving Jesus Christ. He's down there, and he says, "Timothy, I want you to get my books. Have them, when they come to see me, bring my books. Have them bring my cloak. I need my poncho. It's terribly cold in here. Stone prison." And Paul says, "You know what? Bring a beanie for my head. And you know what? Bring Mark, because he's a benefit to me in the ministry." And I have a hard time with that, man. God's grace. The man panned out, and all along the way to be a man of grace. We're not always going to agree, but may grace reign in all that we do.
Yeah. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a presentation called When Christians Disagree. A look at the last paragraph of Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue in our journey through the book of Acts, so be sure and join us once again. Remember, visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. We are approaching the end of the year, which means that the Prophecy Conference hosted here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is just about a month away. Seats are beginning to fill up quickly for this ticketed conference. For the registration cost of just $25 for the entire weekend event, SoCalProphecyConference.com will let you know what you're getting. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Well, this is that time of year where many people offer up their opinions about the true meaning of Christmas. And not only will you get some contradicting opinions, they're mostly usually wrong. The true Christian knows that this holiday is the celebration of the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, as we read in the Gospel of John. Well, imagine a Christmas without Jesus. That's the title of our teacher's CD series we're offering this time of year. Its purpose is to keep our eyes on our Lord and to keep Christ in Christmas. Imagine a Christmas without Jesus, the CD series by Jack Hibbs, is yours when you send in a contribution to Real Radio of any amount. And by the way, all donations are tax deductible. Just ask for it by title, Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. You can start by visiting realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, where you'll be able to learn more about the series and order your own copy, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.